That's a good one, too. Turn with me, if you would now, to Colossians chapter 1. In the message last Wednesday night, we read a verse of Scripture, and it was 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, which says that God has revealed to us the things that He has prepared and done for us by His Spirit. He has revealed those things to us by His Spirit. It actually says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The Spirit searches the deep things of God and reveals them unto us. We've been looking at some deep things, going through Colossians. Some very deep things, things that we naturally cannot understand, things that we just cannot comprehend, cannot get our minds around. And tonight is no different. We're going to try to enter into something that we naturally cannot enter into. So I pray the Spirit of God will help us. And I pray He'll open these things up to us. We need His Spirit. If we're going to worship Him, and if we're going to understand His Word, we need His Spirit. I pray that He will help us and meet with us. Our text is going to be one verse. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Colossians 1, verse 19. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him," that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, "should all fullness dwell." It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. To that, God's people say, Amen. It pleased the Father that in the Lord Jesus Christ all fullness should dwell. To that, God's people say, it pleases us too. It pleases us too. That in Christ, all fullness should dwell. How thankful we are for the fact that all fullness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Hasn't the Father and the Spirit given us a love for Christ? Singing those songs, it made me think every time that we have a song that is just glorifying so clearly, and we're all singing it together, it makes me so excited to sing in the great congregation. I just can't wait. Glorifying Christ, just glorify. Isn't that the greatest thing for a believer to do on this earth? That's going to be the greatest thing for a believer to do for all eternity. Glorifying Christ. Amen. Thank God. We agree. All fullness right there. All fullness. I tell you what that statement in this verse makes me think of Him. All right? Whenever I hear this read, this is what it makes me think of Him. It makes me think He is great enough to hold it all. All fullness has been placed in Him. And He is great enough to hold it all. The breadth and the length and the depth and the height of Him is so great, He is able to hold it all. God the Father has put it all right there. And He's able. He's the only one able to hold it all. In Psalm 23, this is what David said. And we can enter into this. David said, "My cup runneth over." I, whenever the Lord first started opening up the scripture to me, really opening up the word to me and speaking to my heart, it was just, it fed me and blessed me. And I would be listening to messages, and halfway through, I'd think, "You're going to have to stop. I just can't even hold anymore." What we're saying is, we can't hold it all. David said, "I can't hold it all. My cup is running over. It's just spilling over. I just cannot hold it all." But he can. He can hold it all. All fullness. God the Father put all fullness in the only place that was able to hold it all. He put it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's see if the Spirit will let us enter into just a little bit of the fullness that God the Father placed in Christ. And then after we look at that, I want to end the message by showing you something that's just amazing. Just wonderful to see. All right, the first thing that it pleased the Father to place in Christ. Look with me, if you would, at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Speaking of Christ, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Do you ever get tired of looking at that and considering that? "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All the fullness of the Godhead resides, dwells in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have a clearer view of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Man sees this man, Jesus Christ. Men and women see this man, Jesus Christ. And naturally, they don't see all the fullness of God in him. But when the Spirit reveals these things, you get a changed mind about Jesus Christ and who he is. And all of a sudden, you see the fullness of God, the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in this person. That's called repentance, a changed mind. Think about this. The Father chose to put his own fullness in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father chose to put all of his own fullness in the person, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Father chose to put the fullness of the Spirit in the body, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, "You know, I don't understand that. I thought that you couldn't contain God. I thought that the Spirit was everywhere. I thought the Spirit blew where it listeth." Well, I don't understand it either. That's the more we look at this, the more I realize I don't understand it either. This is beyond comprehension. You can't contain God. You cannot contain God. The Spirit does blow where it listeth, but all the fullness of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, dwells in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard read to us this morning, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Just amazing. God was in Christ, all the fullness of God in him. Whatever the Lord Jesus Christ did, and whatever he does, the Father did and is doing it. And the Spirit did and is doing it. All the fullness of the Godhead. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. First John 5, (clears Look with me at verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. These three are one. Look at verse 20. It says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." What does that mean? That means the fullness of all three of them are in Jesus Christ. If you see Jesus Christ, you've seen all three of them. So that's the first thing that it pleased the Father to put in Christ. All the fullness of God. Everything God is, everything God does, everything that God will forever be. All of God's fullness has been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, the second thing that it pleased the Father to place in Christ. Go with me, if you would, back to Colossians. Chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And you are complete in him. All of God's chosen people. God has a particular people. He has a chosen people. And all of those chosen people were placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I don't honestly know. But that's where God's people are. He is in us. His Spirit is in us. We are in him, joined together with him. But God the Father placed all of his people in Christ. The fullness of God's particular people, meaning all of them. Every soul chosen to be a member of the heavenly kingdom. All of them have been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just listen to these scriptures. Acts 17:28 says, "In him we live and move and have our being." Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, "We were chosen in him." Ephesians 1:11 says, "Our inheritance is in him." 1 John says, "We abide in him." It says, "We dwell in him." We just read, we were just in 1 John 5:20. We just read, "We are in him." That is true. We're in him. The fullness of God's people, all of them have been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of everything that they are has been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If God's people have been placed in Christ, then the fullness of everything that God's people are has been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we know what God's people are in the flesh? Do we really know what God's people are absolutely filled with? Just what they fully, fully consist of in the flesh? Here's the answer. Sin. Sin. You look at man, you want to see sin? Look right, look no further. Sin. If the fullness of God's people was placed in Christ, then that means the fullness of their sin, the fullness of everything that they are, was placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of the only thing that they are was placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it was placed by God the Father in Christ. All of it. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says this. It says, "He bore our sins in his own body on the tree." The fullness of all of our sins in his own body on the tree. The fullness of God was placed in Christ. And what we're going to see here is everything is in Him. Everything pertaining to His kingdom is in Him. God is in Him. His people are in Him. Everything that they are, God the Father put it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, God the Father put something else in Him. All right, here's the third thing. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation 14. If a sinner ever sees this and gets a hold of this, it will bring absolute joy and peace and comfort. This is just the most glorious thing we could ever see. Revelation 14, look at verse 19. It says, "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth." Who is the vine? Who said he was the vine? Christ did. He said, "I am the vine." He said, "My people are the branches." They're the fruit. They're the grapes, okay? Cluster of grapes. If you look at the end of verse 18, it says, "Gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." Okay, verse 19. "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city." Where was Golgotha's hill? Where was Calvary? Without the city. Verse 20 says, "And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress." The fullness of the wrath and the vengeance and the condemnation of God on His people, on His particular people, was pressed into the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of the wrath of God. And with the fullness of it being pressed into Him, what it means is none of it is left to be pressed into His people. That is what we have a table set before us. This is what we're remembering in this table. This is what we're glorying in. The fullness of the wrath of God was pressed into Him, and there's the result of it. And because of that, it's not going to be pressed into us. Because He bore what should have come to us, we're going to get to bear everything that comes to Him. The glory of the gospel for His people, that Christ, all of the fullness of God's wrath, it was poured into Him. All of the fullness. It pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in Him. The fullness of God, the fullness of His people, the fullness of His judgment on the sin of His people. It pleased the Father that all fullness should be placed in Him. That is glorious news. That is wonderful news. All right, now, I love this. This is absolutely amazing. Precious to see. I love how the Scripture says, "Blessed are the eyes that read this." Blessed are the eyes that see this. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 15 says, "John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, 'This was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me.' Now watch verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Of his fullness. It pleased the Father that all fullness should go to him. All the fullness of God should be placed in him. All the fullness of his people in him. All the fullness of that reconciliation should be found in him. And of his fullness have all we received. Because the fullness of God was in him. And because the fullness of his people was in him, they receive all the fullness that has been placed in him. Because everything ended up in him, we receive all of the fullness that has been placed in him. We receive the fullness of God in him. We receive the fullness of the judgment of God on our sin in him. What about my sin? How can God justify me for what I've done? It's because all the wrath that God had to pour out on me, he poured it out on me in him. The fullness of it came to me. Oh, he judged me. He condemned me. He slew me. Rightfully so. In him. We have received of his fullness. Romans 8 verse 39 says, we receive the fullness of God's love in him. This is what that verse says. It says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, we receive the fullness of God's wisdom. We receive the fullness of God's righteousness. Men and women are going about trying to establish their own righteousness before God. But if the Holy Spirit ever reveals the righteousness that God has already provided in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will submit to that righteousness gladly. Give me that one. Give me that one. I renounce my own. In him we have of his fullness, of the fullness of his perfection and righteousness and holiness. That's glorious to me because I don't see any of that in myself, but I see it in him. And in him, I get to receive and we get to receive of his fullness. The fullness of his wisdom, the fullness of his righteousness, the fullness of his sanctification. That means his holiness, his absolute righteousness is perfection without. Sanctification, holiness is perfection within. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Of the fullness of his redemption have we received. Ephesians 1 talks about the fullness of the Father's blessing. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in him. All blessings. The fullness of God's blessing in him. It goes on to talk about the fullness of our acceptance. The fullness of our forgiveness. Can you imagine how glorious it is to be forgiven by God Almighty, forgiven by the God we've sinned against. Full, complete, and total forgiveness in him. Ephesians 2 talks about the fullness of his grace. 1 Peter 1 talks about the fullness of his mercy. Where is mercy found? In him. In his blood. Talks about the fullness of our hope. In the fullness of our peace, of his fullness have we received. I love this. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence. One of these days we will, Lord willing, if God has mercy on us, we will stand in his presence, and when we do, this is what we will experience, the fullness of joy. We have received of that in him. Of all of his fullness have we received. So As a closing benediction, a final word of blessing and prayer for all of us, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, look at verse 14. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." He said, that's what I pray. I pray that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He said, I pray Christ might be in you. Because he said, if Christ is in you, then you will be filled with all the fullness of God. And he went on to say in verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." We are going to remember the fullness of his sacrifice. That's what we're going to do in taking this table. We are going to remember the fullness of his sacrifice. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not make a partial sacrifice for our sins. He did not put a down payment on our redemption. He made a full sacrifice. He made a full payment. Fullness, fullness, fullness. We are going to remember that his blood has washed us white as snow, and his broken body is our nourishment to take us to glory. It bore the judgment that should have come to us, and it is also the nourishment that will carry us all the way to glory. We're here to remember his broken body and his shed blood. We're here to remember that the holy God, think about this, the holy God met with sinful man right there in the fullness of the person of Jesus Christ. God met with man. The result of that meeting was his death. That death brought satisfaction to God and reconciliation to us. In this, we are remembering and acknowledging the fullness of our salvation. In Christ is a full, complete, total salvation. You are complete in him. Nothing else to do. Well, do I have to take this table to put the final stamp on my salvation? No. If we believe that, let's not take the table. We are complete in him. That's what we're saying in this. All of it, everything, fully satisfied in him. By partaking of this table, this is what we're acknowledging. We're acknowledging our desire to partake of him. We take this table saying, I want to partake of him. I want to be in him. I want him to be in me. I want the fullness of everything that God has provided for me in him. I want it. I want it. If that's our heart, let's take it together. Brother Bob, you come read for us.